Well, I am really pleased now to be joined by Carol Harvey. She runs an organisation called Something About Oscar, and she's going to be launching her Find Your Voice workshops very soon in Sutton and Surrey. So, Carol, absolute pleasure to welcome you into the studio today. How are you doing?
I'm amazing. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, no, of course. Now, for a bit of background, folks, Carol and I actually first met years ago. Mm-hmm. Myself and Mum used to teach classes at Ashley School, and you were there at the same time teaching singing. And it's just crazy how the kind of the world has brought us back together after so many years. But it was so nice doing those classes, both for myself and Mum and for you. Do you have quite fond memories of that time at Ashley?
Oh, it was awesome. The Singing Rock Club, it was a really powerful time to mix 50% confidence, 50% singing. Really, really good fun.
Yeah, no, yeah. It was amazing. So obviously, yeah, your background is in singing. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your professional background? Because I know these workshops are going to involve singing and getting people doing lots of creative things. So mm-hmm. where does that creative spark come from?
Well, actually, I trained as a dancer.
Oh, did
so
you?
Originally, I trained as a dancer and I did loads of shows and I didn't believe I could sing until I was 30. So there was a real lack of confidence and self-belief in me. And so I did loads of shows and workshops, and I was always on the empowering others and looking after myself and helping myself in certain circumstances. And I was a children's entertainer. I was a pixie.
Oh, really? I mean, the things you have to do sometimes in the entertainment industry. How did that come about, being a pixie?
I knew I had all these creative gifts and I just created a pixie character.
Really?
And, I mean, I loved it.
Yeah.
I was absolutely terrified when I first went in to be with the children, but I knew I wanted to, and once I'd mastered that energy, we had huge fun. It was awesome. I was a pixie who lived on Pixieland style.
Yeah, and getting to dress up every day. That's always good fun,
yeah,
isn't
cool.
it?
It was cool.
So, Carol, your work is with highly sensitive people mm-hmm. and empaths. So we're going to get onto the story of this in a bit. But I think it'd be good first for our listeners to understand, what does it mean to be a highly sensitive person and empath? And what are some of the differences between these two personality traits?
So being a sensitive person means you have this very... You're like a radar. You just feel and you know stuff and your senses are on fire. So you feel and know stuff. And so you have a real depth of processing information. So first of all, you're picking up on a huge amount of information. And secondly, the depth of processing of that information is enormous. So we can become incredibly overwhelmed, anxious, overthinkers, sensitive to smells, sounds, tastes, can have allergies, but also very, very aware and a very fast and furious energy. So you can have very fizzy energy and sometimes speak very fast because you're really stressed and very overwhelmed and not able to regulate your emotions. So as an empath, you really see people who are in suffering or pain or have problems, and you want to help them. And you are the person who really wants to help them so much that actually you forsake your own self and you want to fix people. So you have this feeling of love, and, you know, I can't personally watch any violent films or anything like that. I've learned to look after my energy because I know how it affects me, and I would absorb other people's energy. And if I walk in a room, I would just sense stuff. I would feel stuff. I would know things, and it would become overwhelming sometimes. Now I've grounded my energies and understand who I am. It helps me process my energies so that I'm able to be the person that I want to be and not overloaded and overwhelmed and exhausted.
I see.
Because that's what happens.
Yeah, no, this is all really interesting stuff. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people listening right now that are thinking, actually the kind of the traits you just mentioned there, they can probably relate to themselves. I think we've all had moments in our life where we've been overwhelmed. And I've always spoken about neurodivergence here on the show because I've got Asperger's myself. And it's so interesting, a lot of the things that you mention, because it sounds like there's quite a bit of crossover there, actually, between autism, Asperger's, and highly sensitive people. Do you kind of know what... Is there sort of a difference, though, would you say, between these two different types of neurodivergence? Because there is that bit of crossover there.
There is definitely a crossover. And as we're talking to more and more people, and we are some people who may have been diagnosed with ADHD or Asperger's, they would actually tick quite a few of the boxes
for
highly sensitive people and empaths. But yes, it is a separate, it is a personality trait and not a diagnosis as such. But doctors are not aware of it.
Really?
Psychiatrists are.
Interesting.
So if you go to the doctors about being a sensitive person and an empath, as I did ask, they do not understand or acknowledge it. But psychiatrists are trained to understand what a highly sensitive person and an empath is, because we have this depth of processing and how different we are.
I see. So it sounds like it falls in a bit of a grey line where the doctor, you can't get a medical diagnosis from it, if I've understood what you said correctly. But then psychiatrists, they do recognise it. So then how are people kind of... I mean, obviously, this is, of course, why you set up something about Oscar, to offer support to these people. But how can people then get proper medical support for it if it's not really an official medical diagnosis?
It is being unearthed at the moment. So unearthed in the sense of the more people are aware that they are sensitive and then they recognise they're neurodivergent. I didn't find out till I was 55. And the more you understand about it, the more you understand who you are and how you affect other people's energy. Sorry, can you go back to the latter part of the question?
Oh, what was it? No, sort of how people can... No, it's all right. No, it's a lot to process.
Get so in there.
No, absolutely no. There's a lot to process. It's fine. No, absolutely. It was just sort of about how can highly sensitive people, empaths, actually get sort of the correct support if you can't get an official medical diagnosis
for it. Cool. Yeah. Well, they can fill in a test or a quiz. We have them, of course, and that helps them see. And the questions in themselves are what I would call, when I first saw it and understood it, the weird questions.
Right.
And they're all the weird things that we're dismissed for and put down for in many situations, albeit could be school, many, many situations where it's not understood.
I see.
And so it is about how we process our feelings and knowing that you're out of the clique, knowing that you have always felt that you didn't fit in, that you just sense stuff and you feel stuff. You may have allergies. You may have just this horrible feeling in your heart, actually, that's very strong and overwhelming if you go shopping or you are in a room with quite a few people because you are absorbing their energies, which is the weirdest thing ever. So understanding that you are is the first step, and really resonating with that. And then there are many ways we can understand more about who we are. And then for me, it was groundbreaking.
Yeah, it must have been. You understood yourself more then, didn't you?
It was absolutely groundbreaking. I understood why I allowed certain things in my life that had caused a lot of trauma. And I can see it so clearly, but when you're in it, it's very difficult when you're in the black treacle of those recurring dreams and all the difficult things, maybe in an abusive relationship. It is difficult because you are so exhausted physically and mentally that you're coping with the situation, but you're not able to step out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
No, very powerful stuff indeed, Carol.
Yeah.
And what are there actually traits that are kind of obvious to other people to maybe help them recognize they're dealing with a sensitive person? Can kind of people who, you know, are neurotypical, are there things they can spot to help them out in certain situations?
So they may feel anxiety and not coping and struggling, not want to come into, I'm going to use the classroom as a situation.
Oh, it's a good example because it is a very overwhelming place, the classroom.
It is. So you feel this overwhelm inside that going into that classroom is enormous because you just feel and process so much. So for other people to help you is just to be kind and caring and compassionate and supportive. And many sensitive people are bullied and unheard and feel that they are not worth much because they're taking on board maybe what a bully is saying or someone is saying to them because they don't, because they have so much to deal with, they can't actually get to the starter line.
Right.
But actually what they're processing is magnificent because it is actually a unique, awesome gift.
They're taking
gift.
In,
yeah. It is a gift.
It is, no, because you are taking in that full spectrum of emotions. You're understanding the world in a way that no one else can understand. And that
absolutely.
Is something special. But the work you've been carrying out, I mean, over the last few years, to do with highly sensitive people, empaths, you've all started in honour of your late son, Oscar, who so sadly took his own life. So, Carol, I want to say I'm so sorry because I can't imagine what you're going through on a daily basis. But this is what you're doing takes an incredible strength to do what you're doing, a lot of courage. So I think you really should be commended for this. But if you don't mind, can you just tell us a little bit more about Oscar, what he was like, his interests and how he became recognised as a highly sensitive person?
Oscar, bless you. Oscar was funny. Oscar was quirky. He was the out-of-the-box thinker. He was the one that would build the Lego set that was this enormous present on Christmas morning that cost loads of money in an hour and a bit.
Wow.
And I go, okay then. He was the one that asked me when he was 13 years old, Mummy, can I have cardboard boxes for my Christmas present? That frightened me a lot, of course, and I did get them because he wanted to make an 8 meter by 6 meter den, and he did.
Really?
And he created it. And he did close-up magic shows in care homes to raise money for a challenge that he was doing. Unfortunately, he had to leave that school because of bullying, and it didn't go ahead because of the freeze 5 years ago. He was funny and quirky, but he did live on a roller coaster of emotions. He did not ever speak of or self-harm before, but he did have a breakdown when he was 11, and he did struggle with his emotions. So the emotions and not being able to regulate your emotions is an enormous factor.
Yeah, it must have been. And I believe this all started sort of during the pandemic, which is, of course, such a tough time for everyone, but even more so for highly sensitive people and empaths, because the world was just, well, not normal, really, was it? So, again, if you don't mind saying, just because I'm sure it's going to be helpful for people listening, maybe they're dealing with other highly sensitive people, when did you kind of start to notice this behaviour change? Maybe, and what were some of the signs that were present that made you think things weren't quite the same?
When he was 11, he had a breakdown. We went to the doctors, fill in the forms, we'll send you to CAMS, come back in 6 weeks. We needed help then, there, now. So we got basic help. We asked for more. And then at some point he did look like he was coming out of it. But what we didn't realise was he had a ticking time bomb in him.
Right.
So we knew that, I always knew when Oscar was growing up, there was something about Oscar. My daughter is also, and she's dyslexic too, a highly sensitive person and an empath. I always knew there was something about Oscar because I just did, because there was problems he was getting ill, he couldn't go into school, he wasn't coping, he would feel sick. That's the all the energy and the nerves going to the stomach. So there was a mother's knowing, and actually, on that note, I wish to empower parents to trust their intuition, to trust their gut for their children to do what they feel is right, because we were the red traffic lighters. And what I mean by that is that we got the red traffic lights from the school because it wasn't always at school because he wasn't coping. And that was also because of an unhealthy marriage as well. So trust and do what is absolutely the right thing for you, because you are the one who knows your child. But we didn't find out. So I was 55 and Oscar was 14 and a half. And I went to meet somebody to do some confidence coaching for them. And she mentioned she was a highly sensitive person and an empath. And I thought, okay, so she described it, understood it. I thought, well, I'm going to go back and check the empath thing. So I did. And I just knew instantly. And I said to Oscar, fill in this and if you want to. And he went, yeah, Mum, that's me. And it was to say, it's all the weird questions. But then we just went into COVID. But I didn't recognise I was neurodivergent to actually a few years ago. I didn't realise that was linked.
Right.
And I didn't have the tools or the understanding or the depth. But obviously thousands of hours of healing and workshops and self-care and self-love is where you really find yourself.
Absolutely.
And you can help other people.
Well, I think what you've just said is going to help a lot of people. That's really important stuff you've just shared. Thank you. And yeah, I think it's going to make a big difference. So thank you, Carol, for sharing that. Let's get on to now your Find Your Voice workshops. Tell us kind of what is the main goal of the workshops and how long you've been working on these for?
Okay, so this is actually a brand new course, a blend of a huge amount of processes, and as a mentor who's experienced it myself, and for people to understand their energy, to understand the awareness of knowing that you're a highly sensitive person and or an empath is very powerful, because it makes sense of your life. And then when you understand that, you can go to the processes of understanding your energy and knowing, for instance, that when you are people-pleasing, which is a wonderful thing, that actually you're giving, 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 you're not looking after your energy. You're giving your power away. You're not grounding your energies. So understanding yourself in mindful ways, in creative ways, so discovering your voice, your speaking voice, a bit of singing for fun.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got to bring your background
yeah,
into it.
We have microphones and stuff.
Exactly. Can I touch on that? Because you talk about helping participants access mm-hmm. their inner and outer voices. Mm-hmm. So how would you describe these? What are their differences?
Okay, so we have our speaking voice, our singing voice, and then we do have the chattering brain, and it's about mastering that chattering brain and that mind. So I just want to clear that up first of all.
Sure.
Because everybody has that. And often with highly sensitive people, it's a negative self-talk, which will perpetuate and keep going. So awareness and mastering the mind and not allowing that to take control of us, because that brings our energy down. And then when you quieten that down and you really connect to your heart and soul, trusting your gut.
Right.
Your intuition, those nudges, those messages, the things that you feel and you know.
Mm.
You just might feel stuff, you might hear words. You know, when you walk in a house, there's one that you feel, oh, wow, this is amazing. This is so cool. And you walk in another house and you just know it doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel right. So learning to trust your intuition, your deeper self and your soul. And when you really connect to yourself and your soul, You will be amazed at what you hear and the guidance. It's like your higher self and soul.
Absolutely.
Connecting.
Yeah, absolutely. Really helpful stuff there, Carol. So what are some of the other activities then that are going to be on offer during the workshop? You mentioned the singing, talking about kind of obviously how these people feel. So what else are you going to be offering in the workshops?
We will be doing zines at one point.
Yes, they sound fun. Tell us more about those.
Okay, so zines is a creative expression. So we've got MAGA zine, and this is your zine. It's the trendy thing.
Your zine, yeah, I like that.
So you're basically putting your ideas, and it can be anything, really simple, down on paper and creating your zine for you, which is your creative expression. So it's out of your head, down on paper, and then you just feel, and you'll be amazed at what comes out. So many of those things, lots of tools and techniques, so energy clearing techniques, understanding, grounding techniques, knowing how to deal with situations, understand when you're giving your power away, reacting to emotional situations, so strategies and techniques that will help you perceive how you're responding and, you know, how you're regulating. So emotional regulating.
I see. Yeah. I see. And the zines, they're kind of, you get people to kind of talk about their passion, don't they, through these?
And also with the microphone, of course, which we will speak into, we'll sing into, and everyone can be as free or as private as they want to. We're just going to have fun with it. We're just going to, because hearing your voice is very powerful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And whether that be the speaking or the singing, and as a group, we're just going to have fun. We're just going to have fun. We're going to learn about the vibrational frequency, which is the energy that you're in, how to transmute that energy, how to just feel better.
So why don't you tell us a little bit more then about the Find Your Voice workshop? So you mentioned a couple of the other activities. Is there any other things that are on offer that you'd like to mention?
Thank you.
Of course.
I want people to understand how to raise their vibration, their frequency, and to actually recognize that it's not the external world that's important, to focus on themselves and tap into their creativity and understand that they're an amazing, unique, gifted person, which may not have been their journey or experience, because they don't fit into the box. We are the ones that do not fit into the box. So,
and we should own that, really. That's what you're saying.
Owning their own power, empowering themselves, standing in their own power and accessing their real creativity and feeling truly at home in who they are, and not because they should be the other person or the other thing or the other job or the other... That you are your unique being, and the imprint that you have is so amazingly unique, and you have a gift, you know, to humanity.
Absolutely.
As a sensitive person, whether it be, whether it be through music, whether it be through sensitivity and connection to animals, there's many famous highly sensitive people, and, you know, Jane Goodall with the gorillas, and Ed Sheeran, and Princess Diana, and oh my gosh, there's so many. Alanis Morissette is in the film Sensitive, The Untold Story.
Yeah. That's a lot of names, yeah, a lot of known names.
They are, but you wouldn't really know of it.
Because you only see the persona, sort of the public persona,
yes,
that they put out. And, you know, it's only through, I guess, documentary maybe that we watch that we get a bit more of their, you know,
depth.
A bit more depth, exactly, understanding their brain. But of course we'll never know the full extent. I think that's really interesting, the names you mentioned there. I mean, I just think the way you're describing this, I mean, it would have been so useful, I think, for me probably when I was younger, because as someone with Asperger's, you know, okay, I'm not a highly sensitive person, but I've got those sort of slight crossover traits, as you've already mentioned. And I think, you know, because sometimes, yeah, for me at school, was I always felt to feel like I fitted in. No, not always. Mm-hmm. And I think it would have been great had I been younger and other people like me to kind of talk, you know, it's okay to be different. It's cool. You're your own unique person.
And that's a real
strength. So I think this is going to do so much good for a lot of people, Carol. And what is it about music? So we always say music does such wonders for people. Obviously, in this case, we see a lot of older people as well, don't we? You know, music,
very much so.
You know, perhaps they've got dementia. All of a sudden, they hear a piece of music from when they were younger and, you know, they can remember every word. Why do you think it is so powerful, music? How do you think it helps empaths and highly sensitive people deal with their emotions?
It just taps into something very deep. We automatically just feel good. You just feel good, and it can also make us feel low if we're listening to songs and words. So obviously the words that we are putting into our heads, or the words or the music, to be uplifting and positive and light, and we just innately know. So when I've sung at gigs and people, you know, don't have the memory that they may have had, they just naturally come out with the words. But if I'd asked them, it is innately on a different level, and it has a massive healing power way beyond. I don't know the true science behind it, but I do know that, and everyone does know, how much better you feel when you're singing a great song, and the energy, it changes your energy field, and it changes the way you feel. So the think it, feel it, act it in your energy field is really, really important. What you're doing every day and how you live and allow things into your lives. And it's about that learning of that through music, through energy, through fun.
Exactly.
Just having fun and just having fun.
No, exactly. I think music, you know, again, I feel it for myself sometimes, you know, yeah, I listen to certain music and it does kind of raise my energy. I think it does for a lot of people. So I think, yeah, spot on there, Carol. And you've been lucky enough to receive national lottery funding for this course. How much of a difference has this made?
Well, we are just starting it now.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously the awareness, and we're connecting with people, but in the sense of this, it's actually starting now. And there are 8 sessions that times 9, so I use 72 workshops, in different areas in Surrey. And so each set of 8 workshops will be highly empowering to everyone who comes along. And there's only 10 spaces in each set. So then I am able to really embrace everybody, and it's really lovely for everybody that there is enough space and time to share the love, the light and the joy, and for us to connect on an energetic level, because they will be drawn energetically to it. Yeah,
absolutely. So yeah. I guess where can people sign up? Can they sign up on your website? Can they see the locations of where the workshops are as well?
Yep. So we have a Google form on the website. It's called Find Your Voice. It's on the Ways We Walk With You page, and on there's also an FAQ, find out, you know, more questions and find out more on there, and just fill in the Google form, and then we are in Surrey, so, you know, just feel free and sign up, and then we can have a chat. There is one starting in the next few weeks in Sutton, and so we are super excited to be welcoming everybody, and then there'll be more in, you know, going in the next 6 months. So if you're not available straight away, no problem, we'll just connect with you, and then we have resources on our website that can guide everybody through.
Yeah, tell us a bit more about those. What kind of support are you offering on there?
So it's just general guidance on what a highly sensitive person and an empath is, and knowing from that, and, you know, there's lots of pointers, and we're starting blogs, and for people to really access and know that they are supported and that they are heard and that we're here for them, and they can connect with us.
Brilliant.
And one-to-ones, people can book one-to-ones, and I am doing some pre-recorded courses.
Okay, that's
up and coming.
Yeah, no, that'll be really useful as well, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
And actually, just to clarify on this, are you yourself doing all the workshops? You've got a team that's helping you out?
I am doing most of the workshops, and we will have some volunteers too.
Lovely.
Yeah,
lovely.
Absolutely.
And of course, donations are going to be really helpful for this as well, to keep Something About Oscar, Find Your Voice going. So how can people donate?
On the website, so it's somethingaboutoscar.com. There is a donate button on there, which would be absolutely amazing to help us be sustainable, to help more people. And also, easy fundraising, which is incredible. It is easy, and it's very clever. 8,000 retailers have signed up to this to help non-profit organisations.
Wow, that's a lot. That's amazing.
Yeah, so they just sign up and say, yes, we'd like to support something about Oscar. And whenever you do your online shopping, it will literally, they will, that company will send a few pennies to us, which is amazing and helps us be sustainable.
Brilliant, yeah. Brilliant. And then there's one more handy resource as well that you're going to be giving out to people. If people sign up to your newsletter or join the course, they'll receive your book / ebook for free. What's included in this?
So the ebook, so it's I Am Shiny Me.
Lovely
it's
name.
It's a very, very simple book. And it's affirmations and a crazy character that I created. And there is physical actions, because it's not just about the thinking mind and the creativity, but actually the physically of moving our body. We can move the energy and shift the energy and make ourselves feel enormously better. There is a saying that, you know, if you are really struggling, go and over there into that sock drawer and pair all your socks up. And whilst you're doing that, your brain neuroplasticity will change whilst you are pairing up those socks. And rather than, because we get stuck, and we understand that. I was stuck for many years. I understand it. So a movement is very important. So it's got physical movements, and it's less than 25 seconds of physical movements and affirmations that can shift your state of mind, your energy. But wow. It's in a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that is amazing. Well, Carol, we're going to have to leave it there now, but thank you so much.
Thank you.
I think this is probably the most important interview I've ever done in my time here at Brooklyn's Radio.
Gosh.
I really feel like I've learned a lot, and hopefully listeners have as well. I'm sure they've really appreciated you coming on, and again, your bravery to doing this and honouring your late son. I think this is really inspiring. So, Carol, thank you so much. I wish you all the best for your Find Your Voice workshops. Folks, listeners, if you are interested in signing up, please head on over to somethingaboutoscar.com.
And info.
Well, do you know what? You read it, Carol. It's your website at the end of the day. You read it for me. You do the honours.
Oh, jollipies. Info@somethingaboutoscar.com email.
Oh, that's the email. Oh, okay, I see. That's the email. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Carol, all the best with it.